Is it past or is it still future? You know, even the many believing, Bible-believing persons, that is, are still confused concerning the issue of a resurrection. Is there a resurrection or is there not a resurrection? When a person dies, does he go straight to heaven or go straight to hell? What is the reward? How does the Bible present the idea of a resurrection? Of course, we'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, which instructs us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and it instructs us, saying, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are admonished to study the word for ourselves, that we may know the truth for ourselves as we are saved individually, and not because we belong to a certain body or group. You feel, well, that is it. We must understand that we are saved as individuals. Therefore, as individuals, we need to know what the Bible says. So as we are studying this afternoon the issue or the doctrine of the resurrection, let us turn to Matthew chapter 22. And it says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection." So while in Christ's time, there were individuals and even groups that says that there is no resurrection. And these Sadducees are addressing Christ and saying that, well, there is no resurrection. And this is how Christ responded. Of course, they give the little analogy of a man having a wife, and he died, and his younger brother took his wife to be his wife, because as it was a custom that his younger brother would bring seed for him. And of course, it goes on even that other brother died also, so that the younger brother had to take the wife was to be his wife. And the question asks, well, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Seeing that it actually went to seven brothers. So it seemed that there will be a bit of confusion here. And this is how Christ responded in verse 29. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." And continues in verse 30. "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." So instantly we see that Christ does support the idea of a resurrection. And the resurrection is supposed to show the power of God. And we read again in verse 31. It says, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead." So again, Christ is showing that there will be a resurrection of the dead. "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." In other words, when a person dies in Christ, there is hope for that individual. And Christ is saying that there is going to be a resurrection of the dead. And to go against this teaching, as Christ said, is to Therefore, we must understand as clearly as we could the teaching and the doctrine of a resurrection. Now, what about the apostles right after Christ ascended? What did the apostles teach? Acts chapter 4. It says, And as they speak unto the people, these are the disciples presenting the gospel, it says the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So the apostles preached the resurrection of the dead through Jesus Christ. So therefore, the doctrine of a resurrection is supported by the scriptures. We continue. Again in Acts chapter 17. So we're going a little further in the time of the apostles. From Acts chapter 4, we go now to Acts chapter 17 and verse 18. It says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. In other words, the doctrine of a resurrection, as it were, had been lost sight of. So that it was like a strange doctrine being presented to these people at Athens, where Paul was presenting the gospel of a resurrection. Verse 32 also of Acts chapter 17 says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So as Paul presented the resurrection, others say, this thing is sounding right. I mean, if you are a good person and you die, you should go straight to heaven. And if you are a really bad person and you die, you should go straight to hell. But what does the Bible say? See, concerning these. Right again in Acts chapter 24. Now I'm presenting some scriptures right after the ascension of Christ to show exactly how the apostles saw this doctrine and exactly what they taught. Acts chapter 24, verse 15, verse it says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Exactly. The Bible presents it that both of the just and the unjust. So right away we are seeing an idea of two resurrections. A resurrection of the just and of the unjust. Verse 21 of St. Acts 24 says, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. In other words, he wanted more information concerning the issue. He didn't put it away. Let us read back verse 21. It says, except, same chapter 24, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So, here it is, an individual wanting to know about the resurrection. And of course, this individual was Felix. It continues. Now we go back to, we go a little ahead now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To show that, well, if as Christians we say that Christ died, then he had to resurrect. And this is the point that Paul is making here clear also. And it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That is contrary. If we say that Christ is the Savior, and he died, and he rose from the dead, how could there be any teaching that there will be no resurrection of the dead? It says, verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Plain as that, if we say that there's no resurrection of the dead, then we can't say Christ rose again. So the argument was put forward there by Paul to show that the Bible does teach indeed a resurrection and that Christ did rise. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So the apostles did preach that Christ was resurrected, and the Bible said that great grace was upon them. So it was presenting the truth of the resurrection of Christ. Right, so in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, again Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So the power of God is to be seen in the light of the resurrection. And of course, since Christ says that he is the resurrection and life, he is actually saying that he is God. John chapter 11, verse 25. What does that happen here is that Lazarus had died, the brother of Mary, and Christ was nowhere around at the time, as it were, to heal him before he died or restore his life unto him, and he had been left in the tomb 3 days. Christ literally stayed away, that no one could say, well, it was a trick. He allowed the body to decompose for 3 days, and then he came. So we'll read about it a little bit from verse 21. Then said Martha, John chapter 11 from verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto him, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Notice that Martha believed in a resurrection. She believed that the resurrection would be at the last day. Now she was wrong concerning that Christ would have corrected her immediately. If she was wrong concerning the time of the resurrection, Christ would have corrected her immediately. Verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he. Instantly, Christ is actually saying, well, I am God. Because the resurrection is to show the power of God. And Christ is saying that I am the resurrection. I am able to give life unto the dead. Amen and amen. Right. So the main question that rests upon Bible-believing Christians is the resurrection. Is it past already? Is it still future? Or does the resurrection take place instantly as a person died? Right, let us again hear what the Bible says concerning this. Right, of course, as we just read in John 11, Martha had the idea and the teaching that the resurrection would be at the last day. And Christ did not contend on that issue to show that truly the resurrection will be at the last day. So we follow it up again. We go now to 2 Timothy again, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 And we'll see a little more of the importance of the issue at hand here. Right, we began the study by reading verse 15 of 2 Timothy, because it is given as an admonition and more so as a warning. Let us see. I'll read again from verse 15, so we'll get a good context. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." People have all kind of ideas concerning different doctrines. It is saying, from the time you see it is not in harmony with the scripture, keep away from that. Because at the end, it will bring more confusion to those who are not sure concerning the word of God. It says, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus." So these two individuals had done something. So here is the damage that these two individuals had done, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Notice that the Bible is clear in calling out the names of these individuals. It says, "Who concerning the truth have erred." So these individuals have erred. They're going the wrong way concerning the truth. Let me hear what it is they did. "Saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." How terrible. Right, well, the issue, Sister Nelly, as you want to know, is that they didn't have no contention that there was no resurrection. The issue is that they presented the resurrection as past already. So in other words, they were teaching a doctrine that all those who died in Christ, as Christ died and rose, all those in Christ rose and go into heaven. Right, and if a person dies now, they go straight to heaven. That is the doctrine that were presented there. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying that these fellows are in error. And to accept that is to go out of the way. It's to overthrow your faith. It's become shipwreck. And you know what? You know what? A lot of people like it. A lot of people like the idea that when I die, I go straight to heaven. Or this wicked man, when he die, he going straight to hell and burn and suffer. So that they were able to overthrow the faith of certain individuals. Yes, Sister Nelly. Right. That is like what is being presented today by so-called fallen Protestant rally. And who call themselves Christians, having the idea that when an individual die, you go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell. And of course, we know that is because of the misinterpretation of scriptures. As Paul himself said also, that these persons, Peter writing, saying that these people wrestle the scripture onto their own damnation or destruction. Because it sounds nice to them, and they do not investigate, as the Bible clearly shows, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as we are doing. The counsel of the Bible is to go through the entire scripture as much as you could, dealing with the subject at hand, that you may have all the understanding as clear as you could, so that we need not err, and also that others do not deceive us, causing us to make shipwreck of our faith. Now, again, as the scripture was quoting, Sister Nelly, we will go to it. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And some shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So the Bible identifies two resurrections, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. So again, Christ clearly shows that both the good and the evil there are still, as it were, in their graves. They don't go to heaven, they don't go to hell, but they are waiting on a resurrection. Now this scripture here that Christ quotes, as it was actually taken from the book of Daniel, to show the harmony of the scripture, to show that the understanding that the patriarchs had were not different to what we have today. Daniel, let us take a quick look at it. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Right? It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Beautiful harmony of the scriptures. So just as Daniel accepted the idea and taught the doctrine of a resurrection future, of a resurrection of the just and of the unjust, Christ himself, while walking on the earth, supported and taught that same doctrine. Now let us go a little further step now as we understand that the Bible does teach of a resurrection, and it does present the teaching of two resurrections. A resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. Let us now look to see if these two resurrections takes place at the same time. What does the Bible say? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We could read from verse 20. It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And the Bible explains where it's saying by death came by man and resurrection from the dead by man. It explains. Verse 22. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Verse 23 says, "But every man in his own order." Notice that. The Bible is saying, because of the sin of Adam, and Adam inherited now sinful human flesh, and being separated from God, Adam and Eve now could only bring forth beings as they are. They could only bring forth sinful human beings. And the wages of sin is death. So therefore, death was passed on to every generation after Adam. But the Bible is saying that as all died in Adam, in Christ, verse 22, in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. In other words, there's going to be a certain order that all that die are going to be made alive again. It says, "Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming." Notice when. At his coming. Read a little more. We look a little more to find out a little bit of this most important issue, every man at his own order. And we turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 13. And it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no..." In other words, when an individual in Christ dies, we have the hope of a resurrection. Not as others. You see, people, when someone died, they're bawling and they're screaming and they themselves want to go down in the grave, as it were. They feel like it's the end of it. But what is happening here at the church at Thessalonica, the brethren actually thought that Christ would have come back in their time. So that when the older members began to die, they began to get worried as to, what is taking place here? Christ has come yet? The members dying out, what is going to happen? So Paul, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is assuring them as the results of what is to take place. Verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Notice also, the Bible is using the term sleep to describe death. Death in the Bible is like a sleep. Like if you sleep, and when you awake, whatever happened, you had no control over that. You had no input over that. You just awake to see what has happened, to see the new day. Time passed without you being aware of it. So it is in death, you'll be like completely unaware, unconscious. The Bible says that the very day you die, your thoughts perish on that very day. In other words, no brain activity. So no brain activity means that you're dead. If you have a human and they have no brain activity, they say they are clinically dead. So you will not only be clinically dead though, but you'll be physically dead also. No pulse, no action. So the Bible describes death as a sleep. But Paul is assuring the brethren here that those who die or sleep in Christ will God bring with him. And he goes on. It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So the dead in Christ, so we see in the order that each individual now are made alive. So we see that way down to the second coming of Christ, that the dead in Christ now rise. Clearly, nobody who die go to heaven, as it were. The doctrine of the resurrection shows that those who die in Christ are not resurrected again until way down to the actual second coming of Christ. Verse 17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So the resurrection of the just supposed to bring comfort to all, to know that if you die, you have the hope and the assurance of a resurrection in Christ. We go back to verse 16, and it says, the last part, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now notice who rise in the resurrection, only those who die in Christ. So therefore, what about the rest of people? Christ, you know, we just read in Corinthians that all shall be made alive. So clearly we see in one resurrection here, taking place when Christ comes the second time. Continues. Of course, in this resurrection, those who are resurrected in this resurrection, they are given the gift of immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we read from verse 40 onwards to 50. Right, we have it. It says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. In other words, we have a weak mortal body that die, that is considered corruption, a corruptible body. But in the resurrection, you're going to be given an incorruptible body. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Of course, the last Adam is Christ. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In other words, it's saying, when Adam was created, Adam wasn't created with an immortal body. He wasn't created, as it were, with a spiritual body that is not subject unto death. It continues. Verse 47. It says, the first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Look at the wonderful promises given here to sinful mortal man. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither that corruption inherit incorruption. Amen and amen. We could go on to verse 54. I'll read verse 54. Okay, we'll continue reading the whole thing. Behold, from verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we just read about a trumpet song in 1 Thessalonians, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Of course, we know who these dead are, the dead in Christ, as we read in 1 Thessalonians. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Wonderful promises given here to mortal man. Notice that the angels at creation, the angels were created. I'm speaking about the angels that were created in heaven, were not given the gift of immortality. When God created the angels, they were not created in an immortal state. When Satan rebelled against the government of God, and he was able to deceive one third of the heavenly angels, they were cast out of heaven. And Christ says that the lake of fire was prepared for Satan and his evil angels, where they will be destroyed, to show that the angels were not created with immortality. immortality is given as a gift to man. Amen and amen. Look at that wonderful opportunity is given here to man. Wonderful opportunity. Amen. Exactly. He don't have that formula. God alone has that formula. Here we go now to Revelation chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 4. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm reading from verse 4. It says, now if you want, we're going to read from verse 1, right? We'll just quickly go through from verse 1 so we get a better understanding. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him a 1,000 years. So the Bible is showing, speaking here, using symbols of an angel coming down with a great chain and chaining Satan and bounding him to the bottomless pit for a period of 1,000 years. Of course, all this is symbolic. He's chained by a chain of circumstance because he cannot go anywhere. He remains on the bottomless pit. The term the bottomless pit is the earth in chaos. According to our time, we'll see if we look at a few texts in that to put a little more light in it. It says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. In other words, they have no nation to deceive, so he cannot deceive any nations. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It come like the overcomers are with Christ here for 1,000 years. Of course, they were there, they were beheaded. So here it shows that they, if they are in heaven with Christ now, they had part in the resurrection when Christ came. So all the dead in Christ are resurrected, and the Bible is showing that they are in heaven with Christ for a period of 1,000 years. It continues here. The last part it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the Bible identifying now, it's stating actually a first resurrection. So you know it coming to a second resurrection. So we're not using our own formulas and saying, well, it's two resurrections, a first and a second. The Bible is actually saying a first resurrection, and it's showing that in the first resurrection, those who have died in Christ, who have kept the doctrine of Christ, are resurrected when Christ comes again, and they reign with Christ for a period of 1,000 years. But it goes on to say in verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years. Watch the order. Remember Paul says, but each man in his own order. So everybody will be resurrected. That is what it's saying. Everybody will be resurrected, both the good and the evil, but each person in their own order. So here we see that the dead in Christ have been resurrected. They are with Christ. They are resurrected when Christ comes again. They are with Christ for a period of 1,000 years. So all the wicked who were not resurrected in the first resurrection, they are still in the graves. They're still dead. Look at right here. It says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we're seeing that from the first resurrection unto the second resurrection is a period of 1,000 years. Right, so at the second coming of Christ, we have here the first resurrection. The first resurrection, as we saw, are only those who die in Christ. Only those who die in Christ. Of course, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those of us who remain alive until the second coming of Christ will be translated. Understand what is going on here, right? When Christ comes again, the earth itself, civilization as we know it, will be destroyed. We look at some texts. Civilization will be destroyed as we know it. So the only persons who are alive on the earth during that time are those who are in Christ. All the wicked, all those who have rejected Christ, all those who believe whatever, they are slain just by the brightness of Christ's coming. So upon the earth, when Christ comes now, all the wicked are dead. The civilization as we know it is destroyed. All the caves and dens that men are making today and living in, it cannot save them. It cannot save them. So America could make miles into the earth to make bomb shelters. It might save them from a bomb, but not from the second coming of Christ. The earth itself will be destroyed. Civilization as you know it will be destroyed. So at this time when Christ comes, the dead in Christ rise, the living who are faithful translated, the rest of the living died. So upon the earth it have no person living. That is how Satan, as it were, is chained. He have nowhere to go, it have no nation for him to deceive, nothing for him to do. So he can't leave the earth, he like by himself here, can't do anything, he's restricted. So a 1,000 years, the saints reign with Christ in heaven. It says this year is the first resurrection, and after the 1,000 years, the rest of the dead, the Bible says, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were expired. So at the end of this 1,000 years, you'll have the second resurrection. Right, so we have that clear. Matthew 24, verse 36. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father alone. In other words, we can't say exactly, we can't give a date and time when Christ going to come again. If that had been revealed to man, a man would have said, well, I'll live as I want and then come in close, I'll shape up. You know, like inspection. You know, if you're going to have your vehicle inspected, you know that's the law of the land, all right? You must have your vehicle inspected every 2 years. So during that time, I mean, you drive and hurry yourself to fix anything. But when you're going for inspection, you make sure and fix your vehicle as good as it could, because you don't want to fail. Had Christ given a time of his return, man would have lived like that. Man would have literally lived like that. That is why we need to live every day as if it's our last. Verse 37. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, what has happened at the time of Noah? The entire earth, as it were covered with a flood, and after the flood, the entire earth, as it were destroyed. Vegetation itself were destroyed. God allowed man to partake of flesh until the earth could have replenished itself. Now, when we speak about Noah these days, we talk about eating and drinking, right? That is where Christ specified. But you know, we miss the real mark. The real mark is the flood. The real mark is the flood. Look at what is happening these days. Thousands drowned in Pakistan. Yeah, right, in little Trinidad, almost every other day we hear about some big flood taking place. You understand? So what is we seeing here? Christ has given evidence pertaining to the end. Right? That in the first resurrection, that those who rise in the first resurrection rise with the gift of immortality. And we stated here that at Christ's coming, the earth itself will be destroyed. Civilization as we know it will be destroyed. Let us look at some text now to give this. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Just imagine that. You know, we just take the Bible as if it's a book just written last week. So that when people presenting certain things from the Bible, they feel it's a now-come book. But this was written approximately 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to say, you know what happened? People will come and say, where is Jesus? So long as he coming and he can't come yet. I am certain that almost every one of us seated here today have experienced that. That somebody tell you, you join that thing, boy? So long Christ coming and he can't reach yet. What happened? All be deceived. So this is just to show that we are truly in the last days. And that is to strengthen our trust in the Word of God, knowing that it is assured that what it says it is able to do. It says, for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the whole aim of the plan of salvation, that you recognize that you need to repent. And not only that, God now gives you grace that you can live above the weaknesses of your flesh, that you could overcome in his grace and live a sinless life. That is the aim of the plan of salvation. Verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come. There are no if and no buts about that. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall burn up. Just imagine that. It's showing a time when the earth will be completely destroyed. Civilization, as we know it, will be completely destroyed by fire at the second coming of Christ. As we saw here, that no one will be alive on the face of the earth And as we saw in Revelation, as we read of the dragon, Satan, being chained, as it were, to the bottomless pit, it identifies the state of the earth then. It will be void, without form and shape. The exact word that is used in Genesis when God was creating. Without form and void, no life upon the face of the earth. So Satan, at the first resurrection, is left alone on an uninhabited planet, chained as it were for 1,000 years. Jeremiah chapter 4, that is the exact, and I'm reading from verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, bottomless pit, and the heavens, and they had no, if there are no light in the heaven, it have no star, no sun, no moon. Nothing could live on the earth. You'll have no atmospheric heaven, no oxygen, nothing. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly, and I beheld, and there was no man. Now, certain theologians will say, well, Jeremiah was having a vision of the earth at the time of creation. We will see. Verse 25, again it says, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. So it couldn't be at the time of creation, because the place was fruitful. And all the cities, and here it has cities, and all the cities thereof were broken on earth. So it's describing who it is doing this. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. Look at who it is doing the breaking down. Where this goes it? Right? At the presence of Yahweh, the Lord, at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus had the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. In other words, you wouldn't completely destroy the earth, as it were. We turn quickly now to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 24, from 17 onwards. It says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in a snare, for the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. What a terrible thing. In other words, no man could escape this. Your car, who coming out of the pit? In other words, if you, as America, building bomb shelters in the earth, that car saved them. That is what it says. The Bible foresaw all these things. It's saying it have no part you could hide. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunken man, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression of it shall fall and not rise again. In other words, civilization as we know it will never rise again. After the flood of Noah's time, the earth and civilization did come up again. Men build it, and look, we are here today. But in this generation, they're not going to have another time like that at the second coming of Christ. Read again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison, and after many days shall they be... So notice what is going on here, right? At the time of Christ coming, as we saw, the earth civilization as we know it destroyed. Those who reject Christ are destroyed, and as it were, they are shut up in prison. In other words, they remain in their graves. And it says that after many days shall they be visited. After many days. Let us go back now to Revelation. Yes. Yes. 19 and 20. I'll just read back again Isaiah 24, 22, right? Just hold Revelation 20 and I'll read it so we get a clear picture of what is going on. It says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited." So we come now to Revelation chapter 20 again, which says, I'll read it from verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more." It have no more nations to deceive, as we saw civilization anyway destroyed, "till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." So the many days is actually the 1,000 years. The many days spoken of in Isaiah 24 is actually the 1,000 years. So the all the wicked dead remain upon the face of the earth, as it were, locked in prison. They can't go away. When they die, you're not going anyway. You understand? You're not going to heaven, you're not going to hell. But the righteous dead are resurrected at Christ's second coming. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not again, the Bible says. They remain, as it were, locked up, as it were, in prison. When in prison, you can't go away. Where you want to go? Unless you escape from the prison, that is earthly prison, not in this prison. You understand? Not in this prison. You can't go away. Even Satan himself can't go away. He bound here for 1,000 years. Right? And I'll read it through. Verse 4, it says, "At the last part, he must be loosed a little season." So after the 1,000 years, after many days, then they are visited. He must be loosed a 1,000 years. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead," they lock up in prison as it were, "lived not again until the 1,000 years, many days, were finished." This is the first resurrection. So the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Second resurrection. It says, "Blessed," verse 6, "blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So in other words, those who die, the Bible now is speaking of something called second death. Because remember, you died here already, and you're resurrected way down here in the second resurrection. But it says those who are part in this resurrection, the second death, have no power, because you're risen in immortality, and you're given the gift of immortality because you're faithful to Christ, to his word, and he lived according to the truths of the word. So you accept Christ, you accept the plan of salvation, you accept in this, in God's kingdom, there must be laws. There's no kingdom that don't have any laws. Some people could say, well, the law of God done. You understand? You must have laws. Every kingdom have laws. There isn't a place in the existing world that there are kings or rulers that don't have laws. As a matter of fact, as we live day by day, more and more laws are being added. So God and his kingdom have his laws. So those in the first resurrection are those who actually accept Christ, accept his laws as to the knowledge that is given to them. Understand? As to the knowledge that is revealed unto them. Some may have lesser knowledge to some, but you are saved according to the knowledge that is revealed unto you. So here now, it speaks about a second death. So these persons who come up in the second resurrection are resurrected to be eternally destroyed. They're going to receive the punishment of their actions. In other words, they have been judged, and now the penalty that has been given out, they are to be fulfilled in them. It's natural. You see, the world that we live in, is actually a reflection of that of heaven and the plan of salvation. You know why? Because the world, as Christ says, it is controlled by the god of this world, Satan. And Satan has only been given the knowledge of God. So he could only use the things of God, now though in a corrupted way. So the laws of the land dictate salvation to us. So if you do something wrong, you go to the court, the judge, you find you guilty, they say, okay, 6 months hard labor, and you go on and serve your hard labor. You understand? So too, the wicked are given opportunity now, as it will. All are given opportunity now who are living to receive the gift of immortality. You reject that, come up in the second resurrection, you'll have the second death. You will have to die again, and in this death, there will be no more resurrection. Completely destroyed. Now, I'll continue in Revelation 20, right? We'll wrap up in a little while now. Right, so we understand the two resurrections, resurrection of the just and on the unjust as taught in the Bible. It says, okay, I'll read verse 6 again, Revelation chapter 20. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. What has happened here is at this time, when Christ comes to reestablish the new Jerusalem or the new earth, after the 1,000 years, all the wicked dead are resurrected. And Satan seeing all these billions of people. So you know what? We could capture the new earth, the new Jerusalem. We could take it over. I give all your life again. I will resurrect all your. We could do this. Imagine that. During this time, Satan is able to muster up men of military ability and start to organize implements of destruction, weapons of destruction, as it were, to capture the new Jerusalem and take over the new earth. It says, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Notice that it devoured them. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Not that they will be burning continually, but as long as it takes. Let us see what the Bible says again concerning this issue of being completely or eternally destroyed. Psalms chapter 37. And we are reading first verse 10. Psalms. We could read from verse 7 for our context. It says, rest, Psalms chapter 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry yourself. You're seeing evil men prospering and you want to know what is going on with you. Wait on the Lord. God has better plans for you. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evil doers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Cannot be found. So hell is not going to be like a place burning forever and ever. We're going to do our work for eternity. Completely eradicate. That you cannot find them. You cannot see them anymore. It continues again in verse 20. It says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. It is given the idea that it will be destroyed completely. It will burn completely as if you're burning something You will see the whole thing. You will see it catch a fire. You will see the smoke taking place, but it will eventually consume. In other words, no one going to out that fire until it completes its work. It's going to take, it's going to do a work that will tell for eternity, not that it's going to be burning for eternity. But if it's going to consume away, it means that they will be destroyed. Last text, Malachi chapter 4. We just read in Revelation of Satan himself being destroyed. Malachi chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 1, and we'll close with this. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Root is Satan, is the root, the father of all lies. The branch are all those who want to follow his ways. So both Satan and his followers will be destroyed. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts." So just imagine if they like ashes under your foot, it means that completely destroyed. Right, brethren, so we will continue again. I thank you for the opportunity of presenting the gospel here. Again, note that this is the study presented on the website. I encourage all of us, by God's grace, to do your part.